Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Connell McShane joins us now, as he does on most Fridays here. Connell, from News Nation, always good to talk to you. Thanks for hopping on again today.
Of course, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's hard to believe it's only been a week since Hurricane Helene made landfall and just soared quickly up the, it was a Category 2 storm still when it made its way to Georgia. That doesn't happen all that often. And then, of course, the devastation fully in view now. And, Connell, I mean, this is one of those storms that, you know, those storm names that you remember forever. I imagine Helene will be that one for a lot of people.
Well, it's the worst we've had since Katrina. I mean, isn't that an amazing headline? If you let it sink in for a moment, I know that. And you think about how devastating Katrina was in 2005 and how big of a story it was at the time for so long. Now, we're talking about death toll, which passed 200 for Helene yesterday. Now, Katrina was, the death toll was overwhelming. I mean, it was 1,800 or something like that. But this is terrible. And to your point, so many states, six different states affected. And I know, you know, we have reporters in a number of those states, and it's still a challenge. Mountains of North Carolina, for example, that Asheville area, to get to people. They're still searching for, you know, there's hundreds of people that they still haven't heard from that are unaccounted for. There was one small town where they had like more than 90% of the town's residents that they hadn't heard from a week later. So, I mean, it's crazy stuff like that, and it's a real challenge for the first responders and all the volunteers that are down there trying to help people out.
I just am always amazed at the force of water. I think it's one of those things that until you experience something like that, you just cannot imagine that bubbling creek that you live by your whole life turning into a raging river, and your heart just breaks. I mean, you guys have done such a great job covering not only these stories of hardship, but also the stories of heroism that often come out of these storms that inspire the rest of us.
Yeah, we had one of the groups, volunteer groups, on yesterday. But they do such great work, by the way, some of these volunteer organizations. I know we'd focus, of course, on FEMA and all the state authorities, but some of these volunteer organizations go storm to storm, and such great work they've done in so many towns and cities across the country, and they're doing it here again. I mean, you're airlifting people in and out, and again, the challenge of doing that when you can't communicate. I mean, cell service is still tough, right? To the point you're saying water, you can't. Many of the roads are still closed. I know power. I actually was looking at the numbers this morning. It's amazing. Still a week plus, there's 200,000 or more power outages in a lot of these states. Like Georgia was around 200,000. South Carolina was like 280. And North Carolina, I think it's 230,000. That was as of a few hours ago. I'm not sure what it is now. But still, the point is, more than a week later, and you still have 200,000 plus in three of the six states that don't have their power on. So I was asking someone yesterday, Brooke Schaefer is one of our reporters down there, about a timeline, you know, like when, and they said they're not even talking about timelines yet. At this point, they're just trying the best they can to help people, but nobody really knows how long this is going to take to get past.
Yeah, and the way flood insurance works in this country, most insurers will not offer it, so you buy it from FEMA if you're in the flood map. I was chatting with a reporter on my show last night that these flood maps are outdated. Number one, the flood plains have changed incredibly with these events now happening seemingly regularly, and most people, I think she said about 1% of people in North Carolina have flood insurance, and I would imagine that most of those people are near the coast, Connell, not people up in the mountains. And oh my goodness, the destruction and the cost it's going to take for individuals. I know FEMA tries to help out where it can, but I mean, this is really going to have ripple effects for so many people about how we relook at homeowners insurance and flood insurance moving forward.
One of the things we don't do a great job of in the media, generally speaking, is the follow-up, right? You think about these people, and we cover it. You were saying we're doing a good job. Many of our reporters, other networks, do a terrific job when a storm hits of bringing people these stories so that they know what's going on. Maybe they want to help out. They see it on TV, and a lot of times that's what happens. They'll send in money, or they'll go down and volunteer, and you have a lot of people that have good hearts in the country and really want to help out. We don't do a great job of following up because, to your point, you know, months later, years later, what's going on? How much did insurance cover? There was a recent story after one of the storms in Florida where there was, I think it was Florida, where there was these stories coming out of insurance fraud allegations, and an assessor giving you one amount, and next thing you know, your house, the amount that you needed was supposed to be five or six times that, and then when the insurance company gave them, the amount was much lower, things like that. So we have to do a better job of following up with these people, because it's such a long road that they have ahead of them.
That's a great point. Yeah, I saw that the adjuster recommended something like $400,000. The company came back with the adjuster's name and number still on the sheet to blame him at, like $15,000 or $16,000, something ridiculous.
Crazy.
But you're right. Yeah, those follow-ups are hugely important, and they can reframe how we think about things moving forward. Of course, politics has entered the equation with a hurricane. I mean, I'm sure most people on the ground just want help, and they're grateful of the help that is coming. But a lot of agitators on social media trying to make hay out of the fact that FEMA is giving $750 to people, trying to say that's all that's being given to people. That is an initial payment for immediate needs. There might be more help on the way. There should be for a lot of people. But it's just one of those moments. I know everything is politics, right? And it's connected to it. And it just... You think about the helpers and the people on the ground, and I just wish we could keep out some of that noise for a little bit.
Yeah, it's always tough, right? I mean, even in these two states that are getting the most focus when it comes to politics, and I think former President Trump is back today in Georgia, where the political focus will be on him appearing next to the Republican governor that he's had that contentious relationship with in his own party, Brian Kemp, for the first time since 2020. And then the other state, of course, is North Carolina. Those two states in the political race are so close. They're so, we only have seven real true toss-up states, and Georgia and North Carolina are two of them. So it's almost inescapable that you're going to have some political discussion. There's some practical political discussions, I think, to have in terms of where, what's the impact on these people voting? I mean, are they even thinking about it at this point? They have so many other things on their minds. Some of the infrastructure been damaged? Is it going to be tougher for them to get access to their ballot locations or their mail-in votes? And I think a lot of those stories are certainly worth doing. But you even think when back in 2012, it had nothing to do with swing state politics, and it became political during Sandy, right? In this area where I am, New York, New Jersey, when Barack Obama showed up and he hugged Chris Christie. And
yep.
Oh, what's going on here? There's a Republican hugging a Democrat, and that became after Superstorm Sandy. So that became a big political story. So we can't avoid it, but especially when it happens in two swing states, because those are both really, really close states, and now you wonder how this is going to affect the practical voting and also kind of the political landscape if the government is perceived as not doing a great job.
Right, or the opposite, perceived as doing a great job.
Exactly.
Right? I know it's, and politics is part of everyday life, and there's important discussions to have, just some of the vitriol I bore,
right.
But we all do. All right, so we've got about a minute left, and we got a month and a day till this election, Connell. We are in the final stretch. I wonder, is the cake baked, or is there still a little icing on top that each of these candidates are just trying to sway a couple more people their side?
Yeah, I don't think it's baked. It is for 99.9% of us, right? But the idea that something's going to happen, you could just feel it, that'll swing a little bit, and it's all it takes. I mean, there's going to be probably a state in here, I'm just guessing, that you have a margin of 10,000-15,000 votes again, maybe two or three states like that. So some little move one way or the other is going to still have an impact, something we haven't thought of yet. It just doesn't take much. This thing is so close.
Yeah, absolutely. Connell, we love watching you. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Thanks, John.
That's great. Connell McShane. You can see him on News Nation, 2 to 4 p.m., Comcast 223, DirecTV 307. Find it on Dish at 207.